my least favorite part when I get up here and speak is making y'all stop fellowshipping and talking, honestly, because I love the love that this church has, and I know Adam said it already, but I wanted to say thank you too. We've been going to Strong Tower for a long time, and this church supports the youth that go and the adults, and many of the adults have now started coming out too and helping, and it's just a blessing to me. Especially this trip was kind of put together a lot quicker than our normal summer trip because of all the things, and it just came together in amazing ways. So just from the sincere bottom of my heart, thank you so much for your support and what we do, and hopefully by the end of today, it'll just give you all the more reason to continue to support us as we support such a wonderful mission. It's my pleasure to introduce you guys to Mark Willis, the executive director of Strong Tower. And over the years, he's becoming a dear friend. And as I watch him interact, he has seven children. And as I watch him as a father and a husband, I have learned so much and come to respect his leadership and just how he does things. And so I'm super excited for him to be able to share with you more about a ministry that I love. And so we'll kind of go from there. How you doing today, Mark?
I'm doing good. Good. You're saying a lot of nice things. That's because you weren't in the car this morning.
Oh, but they're true. They are true. So, Mark, why don't we start off? Why don't you just tell us a little bit about Strong Tower? How did Strong Tower begin? How did it come about?
Okay, that's a great question. So they said that I would have a chance to thank everyone and brag on y'all, so I'm going to save that for later. It's good to be here. Thank you for having me. How did Strong Tower come about? That's a great question. About 22 years ago, there was a farmer and there was a couple that was involved with Child Evangelism Fellowship. And the farmer got saved and he had about 100 acres. And they challenged him that and he really had a heart for children and wanted to do a work for the Lord. And they began to talk and pray. And through that relationship and dialogue, they kind of challenged him. And the Lord seems like he was stirring their hearts. And they challenged him, says, if you're serious about wanting to do a work for the Lord, why don't you give your land and we will start a camp. And that's how Strong Tower Ranch began. They had their first camp. I think they had 5 kids.
That's awesome. I've not heard that story. Yeah. That's great. Mark, how did you get involved with camp?
You know, we had somebody in a co-op along the way, homeschooling, invited us, and that was nearly 15. This is my wife Joy and some of our crew back there. Nearly 15 years ago, I think. Ooh. That we went out and started volunteering, like you all and most people. So we started serving and fell in love with the ministry and the people and the land and the horses and the kids, and we've kind of been out there ever since.
That's awesome. And what is your role? What do you do at camp?
It's kind of like being a pastor. So everything that everybody else won't do, I get stuck doing. No, I'm sorry. Executive director. So you wear a lot of different hats in the organization, but I guess at this point, as executive director, vision, fundraising, strategic planning, you're kind of shepherding the ministry and setting the bearing or the direction of the ministry while you're trying to keep your people at a pace where they don't blow up. And just try to keep the organization healthy, which really means keep the people healthy. If we have healthy people that are rooted and grounded in Christ and loving one another, linking arms, then the ministry will kind of be okay. It would take care of itself.
I love that. I love the faith aspect in that, and it's a great example of leadership there. So speaking of that, as you are trying to shepherd these leaders in that direction, what direction are you headed? What is Strong Tower's mission? What is your goal as a ranch, as a camp, and what is the mission of Strong Tower?
Very good. The mission of Strong Tower, we exist we've got a twofold mission. Number one, we exist to be a Christ-centered refuge, offering hope and healing to wounded children. Really, we want to reach wounded children with the love and peace of Christ. And you would not believe the stories and the number of children. You are blessed if you have a mom and dad dragging you to church. There's so much pain out there, and it's so unfair, and it's so unjust. So that is our first and primary mission, is to reach wounded and broken children with the love of Jesus. And it's amazing that happens. The Lord has a heart for the widows and orphans. We know that from his word. I would say the second fold mission of Strong Tower is for a lot of our young people, the staff and the teens and the volunteers and the young adults and even the adults that show up. We want to equip people. We want to be an equipping, growing, multiplying, modeling leadership that anybody that comes across our path, we want them to leave being strengthened and encouraged. So I would say we want to reach hurting, wounded children, and we want to equip believers for ministry.
Awesome. So we got many programs to achieve those goals. I know a lot about day camp, and I know a little bit about the equine program. Mm-hmm. Why don't you tell us about some of the programs? We can start with day camp and maybe talk about the equine therapy a little bit, some of the things I don't know about.
Sure. So we can make it sound big, and we do have a lot going on, but primarily there's kind of two main strategies, and one is camp, and right now that's primarily a day camp. We would love for that to be an overnight camp. We need some lodging and some different facilities for that. But so we are trying to get these kids to camp. A lot of these children, and when we say children, one of our goals is to have half of our campers be scholarshiped or sponsored campers and that are unchurched. So we are canvassing neighborhoods. We have been in partnership with a social worker, one of the public schools. We are partnering with churches like yours and getting kids to camp. Canvassing neighborhoods and so forth. We had a church that brought six vans full of kids, and most of them just didn't know their left hand from their right. They were just lost. Anyways, what was the question again?
So that's a little bit about day camp. We got.
There you go. How do we do that? Our programs. Okay, so we're trying to round up all these kids and give them a good time. We're gonna wear them out. We're gonna get them exhausted. We're gonna set them on a horse for a trail ride, and through all of these things, through feeding them wonderful lunches and loving on them, their hearts just kind of go pop, and they just start talking. When you give them opportunity to, and you love on them, you give them the famous side hugs, and you just talk to them about Jesus, and we give them a creation lesson and a Bible lesson every day, and it's amazing what will happen in an environment of safety and stability and just love. When we're praying, we ask all of our leadership and the sheriffs and deputies, the group leaders are praying for their kids every day by name. So camp, we're gathering the kids and giving them the gospel. The horsemanship programs then, they do get on a horse. Everybody takes a trail ride while they're at camp. The horsemanship program then is a follow-up to camp. A lot of these kids that are in grave danger or that are in a crisis situation or that need a lot of attention. Now, when we say these children, I guess some have been victims of abuse, neglect, molestation. We've got a lot of these kids, we partner with Angel Tree, which means one or more of their parents are incarcerated. A lot of abuse, drug abuse. So one or both of their parents are like just strung out on meth. I mean, these kids are hurting kids. So we try to get those kids that really need help, get them in a horsemanship program where we can be with them on a weekly basis to kind of just get them stable and get him rooted and planted in Christ.
Was stable a intentional pun, or?
I see what you did there.
So wouldn't be Charlie up here speaking without at least one dad joke. So, what about some of the other, I know you guys like to use the property, and you guys rent it out to different groups. What are some of those groups that you guys are able to do? I know we have like the Lyft Disability Program, right? And there's some others.
Yes. So we get wore out, and we can't use the property all the time. And we want to have a kingdom mindset. We don't care who gets the credit or who's out there. We just want to be bringing people into the kingdom. Get in the ark, right? So we partner with Urban Reach, which is an inner city ministry, and they're bringing inner city kids out to the country. They've never even seen horses, let alone been on one. They've never swam in a pond, jumped in a lake. I mean, it's really, really cool. So Urban Reach, Lift This Disability, people that have disabilities come out and they do camp there. They do amazing things. They get them climbing and riding, and they do some amazing things. So we are trying to not just make money from the property, but we're trying to strategically partner with other groups and ministries that are similarly aligned mission.
That's awesome. I love the generosity and just that, like, not letting God's resources go to waste and using them in as many ways as we can. Here's a fun part, Mark. Think of two stories that you've seen God work at camp that have just blown you away.
Okay. Well, I might have to give you three. Yes, sir. All right. Last summer, we had a girl show up for camp on one of those six church buses. We had a girl, I think she was 9 years old, and this was Monday morning, and she was really sour. I thought, what's wrong with this kid? Found out her mom had died on Friday. Okay, they were Wicca, into the occult, incantation spells, whole nine yards. Her mom was a witch, basically, and died on Friday. She's at camp, 72 hours? 3 days later, she's on our doorstep. We started praying for this young girl, who I will not name her, but we started praying for this young girl. We started loving on her. You know, those people in your lives that are extra mean, they need extra doses of love. And it's extra hard to give it, but those are the ones that need it most. So we started showering her with love and affection, maybe some special time with horses, and praying for her. And that day we had a Monday, we've got a big argument with her whether she is going to go to Bible lessons. I don't need to go to Bible. I don't even believe God exists, she says. Well, this is what we do, hon. You know, this, you can go to Bible lessons. We can go home. Do you want to swim in the lake? You want to ride the horses? You know, this is a package deal. We're gonna go to Bible. You can sit still for, 30 minutes, and then we can go get on with the rest of your day. So she said she was an agnostic and just had to put a big argument. Anyways, we finally convinced her. She went to Bible. Well, after 3 days of this loving on her and praying for her and the word, getting the word of God into her heart. On Wednesday, she gives her life to Christ, okay? That's not the end of the story. This church followed up with them. They had a celebration service at their church, and a bunch of the volunteers showed up wearing their T-shirts, Strong Tower T-shirts like she's got on. And we joined with this church. And what was really, really cool, all these kids are coming in, never been to church in their life. And they would find their counselor. They would go find their camp counselor and sit next to them. And I saw this girl had never been in church, and her grandma and grandpa came in. And they are now members of that church. That pastor got to baptize her, and her grandma and grandpa are going to that church right now. That's one story that just blows me away.
Praise God.
Amen. Praise God is right. That's awesome.
That's awesome. Give us another one, Mark.
Another one? Okay, I'll give you one more story. There was a young man, and I guess I'll name him because he's older now, and he's kind of on the other side. He's doing great. When Joy and I had first started, one of our first years out there, we had a young man come to camp. His name was Will, and this kid was out of control. You remember Will, Joy? Oh, yeah. And I remember coming home and looking at Joy saying, man, I do not know if this kid, I think he was 12 at the time, 12 or 13. I said, I do not know if this kid is going to make it. I said, we need to pray for this one. And he was a handful at camp, and we couldn't keep him corralled. He was always running off, just ball of energy and just a wild child. Well, come to find out, his dad was in prison. And Will came back. He came back another year, and he kept coming back. And as soon as he got a little bit older, he said, can I come and volunteer? And I said, man, I had to think about that. I said, I don't know about that. Let me pray on that one. But we let him come back, and we gave him a shirt and said, all right, now you're responsible to be a leader at level these kids like you have been loved on. And he did. He did a phenomenal job. Will ended up getting very, very serious. He gave his life to Christ. He got turned around. He started praying for his dad in prison. And he turned into a phenomenal leader for us and led worship. He became a youth pastor at a local church up in St. Louis, St. Peter's area. And he was leading worship at that church, a very involved in ministry. He was just phenomenal. He was telling everybody he knew about Strong Tide Ranch because it changed his life. He gave his life to Christ there, and it changed his life. He has just recently gotten married. He has raised his support, and I think this fall they are leaving to be full-time missionaries in Ecuador. So we never know what little seeds that we are planting in some wild child's heart when they're 12, what God is going to do with that. He's going to pick these people up and fling them to the far corners of the world, and they are going to go share the love of Jesus.
That is so encouraging. It's neat that we get to see that side. Yes. I think when we're going to get to heaven, we're going to hear about all these other stories that we didn't get to see the end. That still happened.
We're going to get a run through the tunnel, man.
Right. That's right.
There'll be a tunnel.
So those of you that are really confused about the tunnel, it's something we do at camp. We put up our hands when the kids come, and the leaders scream, and the kids run through it. And it's great because half of them are like, what are these crazy people screaming about? And some of them kind of just walk through the tunnel like this, and others are wanting to join in the tunnel and scream and be just as crazy, and it's great. I do think there may be a tunnel in heaven. I think there's some wisdom there, Mark.
Amen.
So we've kind of touched on it a little bit, kind of the hope for some overnight stuff and the future of camp. Is there more you want to add to that? Is there more kind of vision that you guys are praying for and seeing coming?
That's a great question. We do believe that God's given us a lot of vision. We want to grow camp. We want to reach more kids. We would also like to see some adventure weekends and outings for our leadership, young adult, teens, and leaders. We would love to have family camps. We would love to have overnight camps. We would love to do some more things with the horses, evenings of trail rides, and even with families and donors and saying thank yous and so forth. Have a nice cookout after a trail ride. We see the Lord growing the ministry to perhaps one day even have a cowboy church on site, to have a residential home where we can care for and love these kids that really have no place to go. What's sad is you get these kids, you get them and they get plugged in and they have the greatest week of their lives, and then they have to go back to the horrific trauma, you know, that is their home life. So I think one of our end games for us would be that we have homes, we have loving places we can put these kids.
Be praying for that.
Amen.
And challenge you guys to be praying for those things. What a need, you know. Widows and orphans, right there. They're following along with that. Mark, why don't you share a little bit about how COVID has affected the ministry, the good and the bad, this year?
Okay. Well, Pastor Adam was singing about how he's a good, good father. And it was encouraging to hear how the Lord had prepared your leadership, godly leadership that hears from the Lord, and how the Lord has already provided, even before COVID, the ability to live stream. That's amazing. So God's a good, good father to all of us if we'll be good, good kids and listen and obey. COVID was difficult. We were scrambling, trying to figure out what we could do. Once we realized that was creating more options and getting us away from our primary mission, we did not have equipment to stream live and do virtual camps and all that sort of thing. So we had to rephrase, we had to reframe our question instead of what could we do, which there's a gazillion things we could do. We had to reframe our question, Lord, what do you want us to do? And the Lord told us, not the CDC, not the government, not our governor, the Lord told us that we needed to have a reset, which part of that was having a rest and having a time of prayer and a regrouping and a refocusing and a re-strategizing to get us placed and set for the future. And this week was part of that, even a physical reset. The ranch has never looked this good. They got like 10 years of maintenance and beautification done in 5 days. It was amazing.
Why don't we talk about that a little bit? I was able to get some pictures, and you know, the PowerPoint team loves it when you send them pictures last minute, the morning of things. Chris was able to make some things happen. So I'll share a little bit about what the pictures are, and then Mark can maybe talk a little bit more about what we're doing with that. We dug some holes this week, I'll tell you. This is Andreas. He's with Life Spring Church. Many of you may know the Fredericks. They were actually a part of Valley View before it was Higher Ground many, many years ago, and they're back in the St. Louis area. And so that's exciting for many of you. And this is their son, Andreas, digging holes. And this was the beginning of the wall. Go ahead, Chris. Send some of these other ones here. So did it freeze? There we go. So they had these big telephone poles, and they dug some holes, and they're getting ready here to build a bouldering wall. And you can kind of progress through those and show some pictures. But Mark, tell us a little bit about how the bouldering wall came to be and what the purpose of that wall is and how it helps camp.
Okay. This is an Eagle Scout project. We got to repurpose some lumber. The poles were donated by Quiver River, and we constructed it. They did that this week. All of that was done by these guys, y'all, this week. Okay, that was amazing. Yeah, look at the picture. That's awesome. So this is going to be one of our activities, but we'd try to give one of our strategies is experiential learning. We try to give the kids an experience, then give them a truth. So we will use this to teach lessons about their walk in life, their walk with Christ, but it also is a great physical activity. Thinking behind the bouldering wall is you start on the right, it starts from easiest to more difficult. There's 9 panels, and so far we've only had one kid make it all the way across.
Yeah, that's your boy Caleb.
Yeah, Caleb rifled all the way through it. And one girl made it, like, to the 7th panel. Lord.
Yeah, also your daughter.
Okay, yes. Team Willis, we'll take you on.
Yeah, but most don't make it that far. I think we've only had 2 others make it to the 7th panel.
Right.
It's been cool.
So it's less than 8 feet. You know, you're not going to fall too far. I mean, really, a 4 foot, your feet are never more than 4 foot off the ground. We're going to put some mulch or pea gravel down. You don't need insurance. You don't need belay. You don't need harnesses, safety equipment, certification. So it's a simple, easy, fun activity that's very strenuous, very challenging, and you can put a number of kids on the wall, staggered start. You can have half a dozen kids on the wall. That is going to be, that right there is probably one of our premier attractions and amenities, you know, that you guys built. They put the handholds on and everything. They did a phenomenal job with that.
Yeah, they went from bare ground, went up, got the poles from where they were stored, digging holes. We had a crew on that, I think, every day, and I think they finished it on Friday. Finally got the last bit. Greg Cranston did a lot of leading on that, and some people from camp. That was awesome.
Was
a neat project that we were able to complete from start to finish. Go ahead, what do we got next? So this is the Wilderness Cabin. This is a really special place to many of the people at our church because a lot of lives have been changed in these walls of this building here. This is where we stay when we're on site. And this here, what they're doing there, they were washing the sides. They washed the sides. They scraped all that fascia down and sanded that all down. And they restained the entire building and all of the fascia this week. They cleaned off. There was sticks all over the roof. They cleaned that all off and got all of that done. And then the yards around the whole way. This here, they're actually moving a fire pit. And what's crazy, this is, I think, Monday. There's still smiles on their faces. I'm just kidding. They smiled all the way through the week. They were awesome. But they were moving a fire pit to the other side. And I don't know if there's a picture of the final project there. But just cleaning up the grounds and moving sticks and logs and rocks and kind of making that area just more functional. We got Adam swinging an axe. We dropped three trees from that. Wasn't on the list. But it just kind of got said in passing, and Ruben kind of likes to play with chainsaws.
Oh, yeah.
So we were able to drop three trees, cut them up, split all the wood, and get it all stacked and usable for them. So it's three different trees there. This is the path to that area. It's kind of a remote area on camp. They were able to, the creek that bridge is under rose up and tore down the old thing. We were able to reset that. And actually one of the workers from LifeSpring donated all those 6x6s to be able to make them tall enough for horses. And we'll hold on, that's the lakeside. But tell us a little bit more about some of the plans for the wilderness, how you guys use that area. I know Joe talked, is that where the survivalist stuff that you guys might come in?
Yeah, we'd like to do some of that. Is this mine?
That's yours, brother.
Okay.
Take some more.
So what they did down at that area, we basically, in a matter of days, they took an area that had just been overgrown. The forest was reclaiming it, and it was kind of a place we were a little bit ashamed of. You know, I don't want to take people down there. They did an amazing job, and the whole place is beautiful. So, we would like to do some survival camps, part of some outdoor adventuring weekends, you know, use that. That is, the Wilderness House is the only overnight accommodations that we have currently. And we want to put a room addition on. We probably won't need to upgrade our bathroom, the shower facilities and so forth. But you guys did an amazing job on that. But that is where a lot of our groups, like Charlie's youth group, when they come and work camp that week, we've got a bunk that's a bunkhouse. We've got maybe 26 beds in there. And we'll throw all the boys in one room, put all the girls in the other room, and there's separate bathrooms, and you ought to see the showers. That's interesting. It's pretty primitive.
There's no spiders.
It's pretty primitive. But we're going to upgrade and beautify that house, which they just upgraded and beautified the entire yard, roof, siding, everything. It looks amazing. I mean, I'm taking people down there all week long saying, have you seen this?
That's awesome. So this is up on the lakeside. You can scroll through some of those. So this is actually the building. The kitchen is in here, and that's a bathroom that's off of it that the leaders are able to use during camp because we don't use the same bathroom as the kids. And this is Tom and Sophie Wright from LifeSpring. But they everything that we stained, we either power washed some of the items, we sanded. And so it just took a long time throughout the week by the time that process and then power wash. And then stain. And so they were able to do, we can go ahead and scroll through some of those. The entire pavilion, all of that is all freshly stained. And we're able to get, that's what it looks like, all
amazing.
Finished. I didn't get some of the befores.
Oh, that looks amazing.
But if you saw the picture with Tom and Sophie, you can see just the difference it makes. And this is, they were able to power wash. We didn't get to restaining that one. But if you would have seen that before, those cottonwood trees are just terrible. It was just covered with stuff this year, and it was almost black. And then this is our paint crew. They painted 28 picnic tables all over the property. And the thing is like, they were just tiny little, there's a couple of her, hopefully, they would get underneath those tables and get every little nook and cranny and check in those. And then a lot of those tables had broken boards, and we were able to cut some of those off and re-put new boards on and do that. And so that was our paint crew. But we did also get to have some fun. They let us go on the zip line. That's Eric there. And don't let them think they didn't have fun along the way. They right. worked really hard, but they just had a blast.
Look at that.
And so the lakeside there, that's where most of day camp happens, right, Mark? And then we kind of moving around. But then you guys do a lot of, like, weddings and different things there. And so having that area beautified was helpful.
That was huge.
I think Joe was saying that it's kind of like, you know, when you come on something that's already run down, it's easy to just kind of keep that mindset. But when you walk on and you see something that's fresh and taken care of, it refreshes the entire place. And I think that's when she explained that to me, I was like, you know, wow, what we were able to do was bigger than I think I realized walking in. And I couldn't be more proud of the group that we had. They blew me away. We just,
Amen.
That list, the Lord literally just, like we started on Monday, and I'm looking at the list, and I'm looking at the group, and I'm trying to figure out how to divide this up. And I just started with three teams on three projects. We had a wall crew, we had some stainers and painters, and then we had some like yard work crew that we started. Corey, do you want to pick up more sticks? No? Steven, are you here? Do you want to dig another hole? No. They were amazing.
He volunteered to do so.
He did. Oh, so Steven, after digging, like, he ended up just being on hole digging crews often. We had one more spot at the other end of that trail where we wanted to redo those posts like we were able to do the bottom one because we got those 6x6 donated. But we wanted to dig holes deep enough to set them in cement so that when the creek comes back up, we're not going to be having to redo them, give uh-huh. some more permanence to that. And we wanted to just get that knocked out at the top. And so I grabbed Steven real quick because he had done it. He knew how to do it properly and set them so they're level and get the cement work done. And I was like, hey, can you go with Adam? Can you get this knocked out? And he's just like, you saw it in his face, but he did it. And then the next day, joking around with him, we told him that we need to start digging a trench to set railroad ties in another part of camp. And he was like, I'm like, we're going to have to give up our afternoon off. I know we want to do it, but camp needs it by the end of the day. I know we were going to rest this afternoon and do some swimming, but can we just let them go swimming? Can you help me dig these things? And you just see Steven, he goes, yeah, let's get her done.
And he did.
And I'm like, oh, I'm just kidding, Steven, I'm just kidding. He's like, I'll dig holes for Jesus all day. And that really was, that was the heart Amen. Of everybody that went, was we will do this because we know that it's going to be used to help stories like Will and this young lady who is hurting, and that's what we did. So before we wrap up, brother, what would you like to share? What is on your heart? What would you like to say, and what can you use prayer for, and what do you need, and how can we continue to help in the future?
Okay, wow. Well, first of all, I probably need to be a little more transparent than I have been and just tell you what this week meant to us. First of all, Strong Tie Ranch, because of our model of ministry, we're not charging $1,500 for a kid to come to camp for a week. It's not high dollars, not high entertainment. We've intentionally tried to be simple, keep it outdoors, relatively inexpensive. Well, if half of your campers are coming, we're trying to find funds and scholarships for them. It's a challenge. We're putting on camps, but it's not a money-making proposition for us. It's a ministry proposition for us. So anyway, with COVID this year and with our leadership, we've had some leadership turnover and some transitions and so forth. No one in our ministry is full-time. Everybody's part-time. Everybody's, like, doing full-time jobs, running businesses, and doing this, you know, out of the goodness of their heart. So one of our greatest needs and prayer items would be for the Lord to bring increase so that we can continue to do his work. But having having said that, the finances this year were so tight, we're just having to believe. Everybody wants to live by faith until you have to live by faith, right? So the finances were so tight. We have all these, you know, we're saying, okay, we have a down year. The Lord told us to have a reset. So we said, okay, we have a down year. So we can get all this stuff done with the property, but we don't have any money to do it. And I don't know that you realize what this week really meant for Strong Tower Ranch. It really means that we can be in business and have camp at least one more year. We were on the cusp of, and not to say this in doubt or just, you know, but we were really talking, okay, what time is it and what can we do? And we just resolved that God's not done with this ministry. We're going to move forward. We're going to believe he's going to provide. He's going to bring people or funds or partnerships. And when you all showed up, he did all three of those. And this week, through what you all did, and what the Lord did through you and through your hard work and through your generosity, we got an amazing facelift on nearly our entire grounds and buildings. And largely a lot of it was provided for through you all. It was just amazing. And the kids, their attitudes, parents, I mean, you guys have done a phenomenal job. You know a tree by its fruit. And your children are good-hearted, great attitudes, servants. They worked hard. And Stephen was volunteering all the time. I mean, Jamie laying on her back, taking apart picnic tables. I mean, I could go on and on. These kids, Abner, he's always happy. That kid's always happy. And these sweet girls. You know, Adam, to have your daughter, it blessed me, you to stand, a father and daughter to stand up here and worship the Lord together. And that she's that young, but has the confidence, but also the modesty and the humility to stand up here in purity to worship the Lord. She's got a spirit of worship on her. Brother, you're doing a phenomenal job. So these young people were just amazed me. They wouldn't quit. We tried to give them the afternoon off, and they're still painting and staying. I'm like, Charlie, give them a break. Like, I can't stop them. They want to get done.
We got to finish the stain in our cup.
Right, right. So y'all did a phenomenal job, and really you guys have been like a resuscitation. This week was a resuscitation for the ranch and for us. And you bought us time, and you bought us literally through your efforts and through your week. And through the work you did, you basically bought us another year. You give us hope that we're going to have, God's going to continue to provide and give us another year of ministry. We really, and the Lord does and will, but we really need the Lord to come through in a big way. And he did this week with you all. I don't know that we could have moved forward without higher ground in Life Spring and what you guys did this week. Thank you, Charlie, and thank you, Pastor.
Yeah. I know for me it was my pleasure, but got to give the credit to the Lord. He made it work, and so for those of you in the church that don't know, as we've been okay right now, the church was able to give a little bit, and then everyone who went on the trip gave a portion to go on the trip. But we use that to cover supplies and different things, and then I believe right now, we're not going to pass the plates, but we would like to do a love offering for the camp. And so, if you do feel led to give and support this amazing ministry, please go ahead and mark that on your envelope or however, and then we'll drop it in the box on your way out, and we will collect that and make sure. And I think we'll just put all three of those, the donation from the church, the ones who paid to go, and then the love offering, and we'll wrap
that's
it up.
That's amazing. Thank you.
And then we just trust God to use it. So why don't we go ahead and just pray together, pray for camp, and then we'll have Adam and Bella come up, and we'll just finish out worshiping God for all that he did this week and all that we know he's going to do. As he continues to bless your ministry, yeah. Brother.
Thank you guys for coming out. It was great to see the kids again. It was nice to meet some of their parents. And bless you all. I'm praying the Lord bless you.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we just lift up Strong Tower. Lord, we praise you for just the monetary and logistical management that you provided, Lord. Amen. You did those things this week, God. And we give you the glory, and we give you all the credit. Lord, there is a peace on that land when you walk out there that's just different. And I believe that's you, Lord. Lord, we ask that you would just continue to do what you're already doing and continue to provide for their ministry. Lord, continue to give Mark and Joy and Joe and Michelle and everybody else out there on the leadership team and the board. Continue to speak to them, Father. Continue to make your path clear to them. And Lord, we thank you that as they honored you by choosing not to have camp this year, Lord, you showed them that you're right there with them this week. And Lord, we just praise you for that. Lord, we ask that you'd continue to do those things, continue to give courage and strength. Lord, thank you for their family's willingness to come and share with us. And I know I'm encouraged. And Lord, I pray that you'd use this to encourage the rest of the body here at Higher Ground. Lord, in all the things we do, we want to do it to your glory and your honor. And Lord, we just praise you. We love you so much. Mm-hmm. Pray these things in your son's name.